So years ago, we had a woman who was a part of our church. She'd been here longer than I had. She passed away, and at her service, her son, who had come to church once in a while, you know, like for Christmas concerts and stuff like that, and Easter maybe once in a while, came to me and said, you know, I really can see that my mom had a spiritual community here that supported her and blessed her, and so I want to come. I said, well, we're here every Sunday. And so he started coming regularly on Sundays and started attending classes during the week. And after about a year, he came to me and said, I've been coming regularly on Sundays and taking classes. And I really think I get what this unity stuff is about. He says, so now I'm ready for the deeper teaching. And I said, oh, okay, good, good. And I was remembering what Emmett Fox had said when somebody came to him at one time and said that they were ready for the deeper teaching. And he said, well, then practice everything that you've learned. And so basically that's what I said to this guy. I said, well, okay, you've learned all these things. Now it's time to put them into practice. And so you need to volunteer and be in service. And he goes, what? No, I want the deeper teaching. I want to have that good stuff. And I said, well, that's the deeper teaching, is to put it into practice, to engage yourself in community and to work at dealing with practicing these principles when you don't feel like it, and practice the principles when the people that you're dealing with aren't practicing the principles. You get to be it. Yeah, you get to choose that. And he says, oh, okay. You know, he wasn't too excited about that. But then he got involved and started doing things on a regular basis. And then about a year later, he came to me and says, I get it. I see how it's working in my life. And so that's the key, is that, you know, it's interesting. Every once in a while, somebody was saying to me, he said, well, you know, I've gone beyond unity. And I say, oh, you have, huh? Yeah, it's like, if you're still here on this planet, then means you've still got work to do. You've still got growth to do. And so we're in this place working with this. And there's three parts to our spiritual growth that I really see in this. And we, you know, we change the banners around every once in a while when we had, you know, we brought the new one in for this past Lenten season. But this one stays in the sanctuary here. Because to me, this is how I see what ministry is about. Not just in terms of me being minister with a capital M, but in terms of ministry, minister being a verb, a lowercase m, that it's about comfort, transformation, and service. And the key words with that, the key for comfort is to find peace. The key for transformation is illumination, light, bringing more light into our consciousness. And service is about being love in action. And so these are pieces that I wanted to talk about, again, because we don't just go through it once and we're done. But it's something that we cycle through again and again, because we may get to that place where we're in service, but then something happens in our lives where we need comfort again. And so then we need to grow through that so that we can be of service in a greater way. I love what Mother Teresa said. In the service of God, only broken hearts will do. And how many of us here have broken hearts one way or another? You know, all of us have had those experiences, and we've grown through them. They've helped us grow to something. So we get to this place where we have more compassion for others because we've understood those experiences and what they're about. And so all these things move us through again and again in a spiral of greater expression in our lives. We've all heard a lot about, in the past week, of, you know, the bombing in Boston at the Boston Marathon. And it was interesting, the stories that have come out of that of compassion and service that have been there. And one commenter said that when the bomb blast went off, many people ran away from it, but there were many people who ran toward it so they could be of service. And that not only because, again, it was a marathon, so they had medical staff already there, because it certainly stresses the body to be in a marathon. But there were also, you know, medical students who showed up, people who were learning to be EMTs. You know, one doctor said he was trying to make a splint for someone, and he found this piece of cardboard and a sign, and he's putting it on this guy and realized, I don't have anything else. Somebody showed up and had some tape and just reached over and handed it to him, and there it was for him to take care of it. And there was a doctor's conference here in San Diego the week after the bombing, and they interviewed one of the doctors, and he said, people just showed up all over the place to be of help. And he says, and so we were able to save a lot of people because so many people stood up and did something that was helpful. There was also a story in our San Diego paper, I think it was Wednesday or Thursday, I forget which, about one of the ladies who was running in the marathon, and was near where the finish was when the bomb went off. She hadn't quite gone there, and so the police were directing everybody, you know, still running, you know, off the, because they thought there might be more bombs along where the pathway was. And so she's out, she's not sure where she is, and so this couple sort of, you know, lays hold of her and says, you're okay. It's like, she says, well, I don't have my cell phone, because everybody, they had all their stuff in lockers and they weren't let to go. They said, well, here's our cell phone, call your family, tell them that you're okay. The man of the couple had just run the marathon, so he had this, you know, thermal blanket around, and they gave it to her, wrapped her around. And once they got everything settled, she said, well, you know, I didn't get to finish. And he had his medal on, because when you finish, they give you a medal. And so he gave her his medal. So he says, you did good. You did good. And so when walked away, she was sort of stunned. She didn't get their names or phone numbers or anything. So she went on, I think it was either Twitter or Facebook, and people helped them figure out it was this couple from Alaska that had helped her out. And so, you know, here's this connection that's there. And so we see this, you know, because there's people who need comfort all over the place. And so there's opportunities once we grow with some sense of who we are to be in service with that in our life. And what I invite you to have is a sense of a larger view of what life is about, more than just getting by, but something greater in life. And recognizing that God can express through you at any time, in any experience, in any circumstance, the presence of God is there, ready to break through. Again, whether you need comfort, or whether you're in that place of transformation, or in that place of service, that presence of God is there to support you in that. So let's look at the first part of this comfort. And in American Sign Language, the sign for comfort is almost as if you're petting yourself, of giving that comfort, being there. I saw this picture. It says, I really need a day in between Saturday and Sunday. We feel like that sometimes, don't we? It says, I just need to have a little break here. I need something to go on. And so we have those times in life when we feel discouraged with our life and with our progress in life. You know, I haven't gotten to where I should have been at this point in my life. And many times, because of that, we isolate ourselves and feel disconnected. And so it's important for us to recognize that there's a larger community that we're a part of, and to look for ways of connecting with this sense of peace that comes from God, but we can also find it in other ways. And so my goal today is sort of come at this from a couple different ways, with languaging it in a couple of different ways, so that there's some way for it to intersect with you in life. So again, so this sense of connecting with peace. And when I think of, you know, the Lord's Prayer, the different variations, you know, the one that we're most of us are most familiar with starts out with the words, Our Father. And if we really understood what Our Father was about, that it's something, that this presence of God that's ours. You know, when Jesus taught his disciples to pray, he didn't say, you're going to pray to my Father. He said, let's pray Our Father. The sense of connection, the sense of community, the sense of connectedness to something greater. And so in those moments when we're feeling discouraged, or like life isn't the way that we'd like it to be, or the people around us aren't behaving the way that we'd like them to behave, is to say, no, I've got this place of peace that's already established within me. And if you practice prayer, if you practice meditation, then you can go to that place. Again, no matter what the circumstances are around it, you've got this place of peace within you. And so we want to know that we can step into that place of peace at any moment. Again, whether we're sitting in prayer, whether we're active in the world, we can step into that peace and live from that in our experience. I always like, I've heard people talk about the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, and paraphrasing the first three steps this way: I can't. God can. I think I'll let him. Yeah, and it's like if we could just keep our minds that clear and that focused, because we recognize that there are things in life that we don't have the answers for. We don't know enough in the moment. But if we trust that there's this living presence, there's this intelligence, there's this peace that we're a part of, and open ourselves to it, step into it, let go into it, again, whatever way we want to describe it, all of a sudden, we have this inflow of energy, this inflow of understanding, this inflow of wisdom, this inflow of that presence and power of God that works in us as soon as we acknowledge it, as soon as we say, yes, I know that God is here. And then we connect with it and we can live in that in a greater way. And again, particularly whenever we're feeling alone, that no one understands us, that there's no one here to support us, to recognize that when we connect with that peace and know that God is with us and ready to show us something else, all of a sudden we have that larger view and we see, no, there's people around who are here to help me. There is a connection. I remember in college, I was going through one of those very difficult times psychologically. And probably nowadays would be, you know, diagnosed as being depressed. And I went to the counseling service and they put me in a group. And it was so interesting to be with other folks. And as we talked about where we're coming from and listened to each other, we go, well, they're no different than I am. They're facing the same type of things. Again, the face of it, the names of it may be different, but that the inner experience of it is nearly identical. And so you're right, okay, so if we can listen to each other and support each other, and I know that somebody cares, then I can take another step and another step and another step, and I can see it through. It's such an important part of that life. And remember, Jesus put it this way, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am. There I am in the midst of you. And so it's that recognizing that community is the way that we experience that presence of God. Walter Starkey, as several of his books, talks about what he calls the double thread. You know, Jesus gives us these two commandments, to love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind and soul and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. He says, well, how do you love God? You love God by loving God and the people around you. And how do you love your neighbor as yourself? By loving the God within them. And so he says, it's this double thread that leads us up to something greater, as to recognizing that community can be transformative for us in our lives. And so the thing is, once we know that we're connected in this way, then we can not just try to make it, but we can make it through to something greater because we're connected to something, and there's this uplifting energy of spirit because we've stepped into it, we've made our connection with it. So here's our affirmation today, and we'll come back to this a couple of times. I live as an expression of God. So in the context of thinking that we need comfort, that we need something, here's what we can know for ourselves. Let's say it together. I live as an expression of God. And again, I live as an expression of God. So that takes us to our next piece in this, transformation. And the word transformation means to change form. In American Sign Language, the sign is, you know, it's just these changes that we go through all over again, over and over and over again. So there's this short little video, it's about a minute or so, that...
Perhaps one of the more interesting experiments showing the power of intention and perception was one reported by a French researcher named René Pioche. In his experiments, he built a robot that contained a computerized movement generator that would make the robot move randomly. He then put it into an arena that he built that would track the movements of the robot. As you would expect, the robot would over time cover most of the entire arena through its random movements. But when René Pioche hatched baby chicks next to the robot to make the baby chicks think the robot was its mother, and then he placed the baby chicks next to the arena so that they could see the robot, but couldn't move towards it, the intentions of the baby chicks to be close to the robot influenced the random computer movements and caused the robot to move only in the half of the arena closest to the baby chicks. Think about that. If the intentions and perceptions of baby chicks can influence the behavior of a randomized computer robot in its environment, imagine how your thoughts, perceptions, and intention may be influencing yours. Science is beginning to establish that our minds literally create our reality.
So isn't that interesting? That baby chicks can influence a computerized robot by thinking that it's their mother and wanting it to be close to it. So if you're more than a bird brain, think how much focus of attention and intention you can have in your life. And so this is where we come into this place of transformation and realizing that we use this word light. And it's an image that shows up in all the different spiritual traditions as a way of describing not only an experience of God, but our awareness, our consciousness. What are we shining our attention on? What are we shining our awareness on? What are we shining our hopes on? Because whatever it is that we're focusing on, there's an energy that influences even inanimate objects. And so we have to recognize that, yes, we want to be comforted, but then we have to come to this point where, okay, that I've got a part to play. I've got something that I need to do to make a change in my life if I want something different to happen. We've all heard that phrase of what equals insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. We have to do something different if we want different results. And so this is where we step into this transformation, say, what is it that's going to work in my life? What is it that's going to make? And so we have to say, what's clear? One of my friends was around town this week and he found this sign. This actually sign took a photograph. The real to-do list. So imagine if this is what our to-do list during each day. Sing, smile at strangers, keep learning, notice kindness, eat ice cream. I like that one. Hope, count your blessings, laugh, love, love some more. So what if this is our to-do list that we carried around? You know, I've got my to-do list, you know, for today in my pocket here. What if, you know, those were the things, you know, to make sure that we include what it is that makes our life whole and joyous and transformative, that we keep those things in mind and we keep doing them. We keep doing them over and over again because that energy that we step into as we do that, that we live from, moves us in a different way and influences the people and circumstances around us as well. Science has proved it. And so we get to do the work, not just to say, oh, it'll be nice if. We get to do that work. There's an old saying about prayer that there's two parts of prayer. There's receptive part of prayer and there's the formative part of prayer. The receptive part of the prayer is where we experience that sense of what God is. We let what God is infiltrate us, influence us, work in us, so we are open to that coming into us. But then there's the formative part of prayer as well, where we set in consciousness what it is that we want to do. And again, if we don't do that the receptive part, you know, we can do things as a human mind and as a human being, but if we open ourselves first to that presence and power of God, then what comes forth from us in that formative part of prayer is so much greater, is so much more powerful, makes such a greater difference in our life. And so that's where the transformation works in our life, is to recognize that what we want to do then is that we have to redirect our thinking, our feeling, our actions, our words, according to what it is that we want to be experiencing, what we want it is that we want to create. And again, have that larger view. If I could have my life the way I'd like it to be, what would it look like? As I mentioned when we were doing our Prosperity Plus class, I loved what Mary Morrissey taught. She said that you'll never get to your goal. You have to come from your vision. You see the distinction there? Because if you say, I want to get to my goal, you've created in your mind a separation from it. Your goal is there and you're over here. Where if you're coming from your vision, then you're already there. It's already alive in you. It's already working through you because it's in there. And so that's the work that we have with transformation, is not getting things to change, but being conscious and engineering the change in our own consciousness, working it in a different way. So again, just trying to make it through then, we're trying to make it better by stepping up our energy to a whole new level in what we're working on. And again, Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together, if we have people that we're calling together as resources, as prayer partners in this process, it makes a difference as well. So here in this realm of transformation, this affirmation works as well, doesn't it? I live as an expression of God. That's the intention that we want to set for ourselves. Not just I want to experience it, but I want to be it. So let's say this again. I live as an expression of God. Okay, which takes us then to service. And this is being in action as love, as an expression of love in the midst of life. The scripture that we have today is the later part of this chapter. It starts out, Jesus gives us image of gathering together the sheep and the goats and separating the two. And he says to the one group, he says, I was sick and you came to take care of me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. I was hungry and you fed me. I was naked and you clothed me. And they go, when did we do that? We don't remember doing that. And what he says is, I tell you, if you've done it to one of these, the least of my brothers, you've done it to me. In other words, there's no separation. There's no separation when we recognize. And so if we want a life that's full and joyous and free, that means that we have to help support others around us having lives that are fully joyous and free as well. And so that's service is, again, about helping them, but again, there's the other part of it, that it helps us too, because it keeps our energy moving in a way that we want in a greater way in our lives as well. And so here we want to look at not just connecting with God or redirecting our thoughts, but intersecting with others in a way that's transformative. And again, someone may be ill and we may have to do some precautions like, you know, wearing a mask or something like that, but we can still intersect with them in a way that's supportive and a blessing for them and for us. You know, part of it when I do a hospital visit, I work on the prayer for protection before I go in, because again, the hospital is a dangerous place. There's all kinds of illnesses there. There's all kinds of germs there. And so recognize that when we're stressed, then we're more open to those things. And so knowing that power of prayer, knowing the power of consciousness and setting yourself to go into that situation makes all the difference in the world. That's why we have to have this transformation before we get into service, because we can just start doing something. But if we don't have a sense of that presence of God working through us, we're going to get worn out. You know, one of my concerns so many times when there's a couple and one of them has a long-term illness, you know, sometimes the caregiver dies before the person with the illness because they just wear themselves out taking care of that person. So I'm always checking in. Are you taking care of yourself? Are you getting a break? Do you have help? Because we need to make sure that we're doing that. We need to make sure that we're doing that for ourselves, that we're taking care of ourselves. We've done that work so that we can be in service in a way that's supportive and really is a blessing. You know, because if you were going to visit somebody at the hospital and said, well, I came to visit you, but I could barely make it in. I'm so tired. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Is that going to help them at all? That's not going to help them. They're going to feel bad and guilty and trying to minister to you rather than the other way around. And so we have to make sure that we have that connection and energy so that we can be of service in a way that really is important. So again, so it's making a difference is what we want to do, and stepping out into something larger in our lives. So again, the affirmation fits here as well, doesn't it? Under service. I live as an expression of God. Let's say it again. I live as an expression of God. So let's look at some things of service here. We did a wedding here a couple weeks ago, and it was after Holy Week, but the sign was still up in the hallway in the tower for the foot washing service. And one of the guests from the wedding saw the sign. He says, you guys do foot washing here? I've never seen a church do foot washing. That's what Jesus did. I said, yes, it is. And he was just so excited about seeing that someone would do that. And I said, well, it's not for everybody. You know, not everybody wants to do that. I said, but the people who do that, it is transformative, because you step into that role of giving and receiving, because you receive one as well as give one. And he says, and it's a powerful experience, a very moving experience. And it's not just about the physical part of washing the feet. It's about recognizing and honoring this other person as a spiritual being, and then being honored in that way as well for yourself. It's a wonderful thing. And so it's recognizing how we can change that. As I've been studying the Rumi, there was one of the stories, one of the anecdotes about him that I thought was interesting. This is the later part of his life when he reached the point of consciousness where he's just, you know, radiating this God energy. And he was fairly ascetic in his practices. It was very narrow in what he ate, very, very disciplined in what he ate. And so one day he asked one of his disciples to bring him some sweetmeats, some, you know, candy, some honey candy. And the disciple was sort of secretly pleased that, you know, he could see that his master was, you know, not quite so holy as he thought, and, you know, and had sort of this sort of delight in seeing him, you know, not being in integrity completely. And so he brought them to him. And then Rumi took off. And so the disciple followed him to see where he went, because he thought he was going to sneak around and, you know, eat these when nobody's. Well, Rumi went out of the city, out into the countryside, to this shack that had fallen down. And in there was this mother dog nursing her pups. And he fed the sweetmeats to the dog and turned around to the disciple, because he knew he was there, and said, he says, when you're in tune with God, you can hear a need 10 miles away. And so it's that tuning in that we have. When we work on that consciousness, all of a sudden we're connected and we realize that not only is there a need, but there's a way to supply that need. There's a way to bring some good into it. And so that's the work that we have, is to step out with that confidence that God is the source, that God is there as a blessing. And just sort of to see that there's all kinds of ways for that to happen. Within our church, you know, all the different things, it's like, you know, when we have the Interfaith Shelter Network. We have, 10, maybe 12 guests, and it takes 40 of us to take care of them for 2 weeks, right? When we did the tea, it's like we had, 108 people that we fed, and there were probably that many people who helped one way or another. And so it takes this energy. They build a homeless, downtown to bed 200 people, and it costs, $23 million. It's like, well, that's a lot of money. Well, it takes that. But again, where does that come from? It comes from God, and God is infinite. And so opening ourselves to that, opening ourselves to that expression in our life, and to see that we are connected with something that can make a powerful difference if we trust in it, if we believe it. Again, going back to the three steps, those first three steps of the 12-step program, I can't answer all those needs. I can't fill all those needs. I don't have enough energy and time and money to do that. But God can. I think I'll let him. So what is God calling me to do as a part of it? He's not calling me to do all of it, but he's calling me to do part of it. And so that's the gift that we have in making it work. And so there's all kinds of communities that we're in our family, in our neighborhood. If you work or you volunteer someplace, is there here at church, all the different things that we're involved in. Whenever I think of Evelyn Kleber, I always think of the Women's Voting League, because she was such a part of that. It was so important to her. And so it recognizes all these different communities that we have. And again, how can we be present? And we may be in a circuit where we need to have some comfort in that organization, in that community, because of the way that other people are. But then to say, okay, but I'm going to draw on that presence of God to be transformed so that I can be present in a way that makes a difference. So it works in all kinds of ways. And just a little aside from that, one of the things I was looking at, as I'm getting prepared to go, I'm, doing daily words. I've got daily words recorded through May 17th already, and did all the email prayers that go out. I've done all those ahead of time. And so I was looking at, okay, what else? And the Spirit said, well, it'd be nice to have, more income while you're gone. I said, that would be different, because usually when I'm gone, less people come. But it wouldn't be nice to have more income. And so Spirit just gave me a logic thing to follow and said, so how much more money do you need for the rest of the year? And I looked that up and it said, okay, and how many Sundays are there for the rest of the year? And how many people are average come on a Sunday? And so I did the math, and what it said was that $5.40, that if each person who came each week gave $5.40 more, we'd have enough to cover everything we need for the rest of the year. I go, well, that's easy. For some people who just put a dollar or two in, that's going to be a lot. For some people who do more than that, it's not going to be. So again, it's not about each of us doing whatever, but just what is Spirit saying? What is Spirit saying? And again, that applies to every circumstance we're in. What is Spirit calling me to do in here? I may see some need, and my job may just be to bless it, to pray for it. I see some need, and Spirit may just say a kind word. Just say thank you. Just say, I see you. I love, years ago, I heard about it, I talk about it every once in a while, the 10-foot rule. If you come within 10 feet of someone, acknowledge them. Some of us are extroverts, and that's easy for us. Some of us are introverts, and it's not so easy. But it's a wonderful practice. I've actually made it a 20-foot rule. So if I'm out at the mall or something, or I'm out, doing something, if somebody comes within 20 feet of me, I'm going to make eye. Sometimes I have to go out of my way to make eye contact with them, because they're walking like this, But again, I'm doing it not because I need attention, but because I need to give. Because as I give, then I keep growing through these cycles in greater and greater and greater ways. And so that's the gift that we have in each moment. Each phase, no matter where we see ourselves, and again, in our health, we may see ourselves in one part of this. In our finances, we may see ourselves in another place. In our relationships, we may see ourselves in another place. But in each phase, we're called to give up something. In the comfort phase, when we need comfort, what we're called to give up is seeing that there's something wrong with us, or there's something wrong with someone else, and to move into this idea of transformation, that the presence of God is here for us all. And so what do we have to give up in this transformation phase? We have to give up all the limited ways that we see ourselves and others, that we see circumstances, and see what's the greater way that God can come through. And even in service, what is it that we have to give up? We have to give up our judgments of others, our resistances. So each phase, there's something for us to do. And so we'll find ourselves going through these cycles, and saying, okay, well, I did a little better this time when I got there. Oop, this time I sort of slipped back. And it's like the old phrase, you know, two steps forward, one step back, and maybe five steps forward, seven steps back, you know. But you'll keep moving ahead as you keep aware of the process and keep clear about it in your life. So, comfort, transformation, service. That's the gift that we have. These phases of spiritual growth that come in cycles again and again that are calling us to step up in a greater way, they're calling us to live in this larger way, they're calling us to experience this greater good of God in our lives. Comfort, transformation, service. Let us pray. Thank you, God. Thank you for an awareness that you are with us in the midst of all things, that we live as an expression of your living presence and can draw from that no matter what circumstances are. We can bring your good forth no matter what circumstances are. And so we trust that we will be open to let your Spirit move in us and work through us in ways of blessing and healing, joy and love. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Amen.